Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's 5 at 5 with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top five sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. 5 at 5 with Mully and Haw starts now.
Joe Maddon said on The Score yesterday that John Lester will miss a start or two. Will he go on the 10-day disabled list? And where is your level of concern given Joe's usually optimistic viewpoint?
Listen, the guy's a 35-year-old pitcher, and you're always concerned when he's injured, whether it's a leg, an arm, whatever it might be. If he's not available to you at his age, you worry, and you should worry, because thus far he's been their best pitcher, and he's got a track record of being a great pitcher. So that's always going to be a concern. I think it is a start or two. But, you know, I remember when Mark Pryor got hurt. I remember watching that game, and the guy took a fall that was like a football hit. And I was like, oh, my God, that guy's going to be hurt for a long time. And they, you know, kind of went out and talked to him, and he's on second base, and he came out. And that was pretty much his career.
Oh,
and I'm not saying that's the case
with Mark Pryor.
With Lester. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying when a guy gets hurt at his age, there is an added concern, right?
Right.
Because if he gets hurt and it takes a while, you just worry about it. So it didn't seem that bad, and I'll take Joe at his word. Yeah, again, when you talk to coaches, managers, coaches, when you talk to people who have a vested interest in the player being healthy, you oftentimes get their optimism. It's not an injury report. It's like, hey, it's just going to be fine. I'll miss the start.
They don't want to believe anything
made
else.
Made that crap up.
You knew the minute this happened that he was going to miss a start or two. I don't think there was any doubt about it when he comes out in the third inning. So the fact that that's verified, it just sends a slight shiver, no question.
Well, it's interesting because Joe said he had not seen the MRI yet, and
of course he's missing it. Yeah,
said, of course. You anticipate that. I don't want to be, you know, part of the sky is falling crowd because of a hamstring injury, because I don't think it has to derail anything. But at the same time, you're right. He is 35, so anytime a guy of his age suffers an injury or setback that is related to something that he was doing, it was unnatural for him to slide. And you don't want to bring up examples like Mark Pryor. And you don't want to remember examples like Chris Bryant last year sliding into first and injuring his shoulder and changing the arc of his season and the Cubs season. You hope that's not the case, because you want John Lester to pitch. You don't want him to run the bases. You don't want him to injure himself doing something like Pedro Strop did and trying to leg out, you know, something on the base path. So I am probably more concerned hearing Joe actually acknowledged that yesterday. I thought he might wait until they saw the actual some medical results before they made a determination. I don't know that it's worry yet, but there is a concern level. I think it will only intensify if the replacement on Sunday is Tyler Chatwood. You hope for maybe they get a rain out, maybe they can move the rotation back, and you don't need a fifth starter until later in the month, and they can maybe dull some of the ache here, because there's going to be some if you miss John Lester.
Does every game count if you're willing to throw out Chatwood for a game? Boy, Maddon willing to throw out two games yesterday here on The Score. Not skip a start and we'll reevaluate, not push him back, just need some rest. Then we'll take another look at it in a little bit, in a few days. By throwing out there immediately the possibility of two games, that means he's going on the injured list. He's going to miss at least two games. And you have to be concerned. One, the age, as you guys mentioned, they're going to be cautious with him. And when he did come back out in that final inning, he was on the mound before giving up a couple of hits. You saw the velocity take a dip immediately. Now they go from two huge question marks, usually bad, in Darvish and Quintana, to now three. And it doesn't matter which player they decide to go with, whether they call someone up or they end up going Chatwood. Joe was talking up with a bunch yesterday, so maybe he's leaning that way, but he mentioned that he didn't talk to Theo and Jed about it at that point. I thought Joe was just being honest. I mean, Lester is on that short list of Cubs that they can ill afford to lose for a long period of time.
Yeah, he might be at the top of the list when you look at the rest of the rotation so far this year. I mean, Darvish with an 8.10 ERA, Quintana 10.29, Hamels 5.73, and Hendricks 6.48 so far. Lester's the only one with an ERA that looks halfway respectable at 2.57 right now. And I know ERA isn't the end-all, be-all, but I don't want to make Dustin's head spin with too many numbers this early in the morning, so I'll leave it at that. I think that if you have to rely on Tyler Chatwood to start one game, let alone multiple games, it's a big problem. And if, I mean, just plain and simple, I mean, I'm not taking a shot at the guy. I'm sure he's a lovely man, but
oh, that sounded like a compliment, Kevin.
He's very wealthy as well. But this is a problem because I don't think that they're going to be able to score runs every game the way that they've been scoring runs so far early in the season. They're not going to be able to put up a 10 spot routinely, and you're going to need better efforts from the starting pitchers. And John Lester has been the only one that you've been able to rely on up to this point. If you miss him for 2-3 weeks, a month, who knows how long it's going to be, it could be a real problem.
You know what I'm more concerned about? What I'm missing, you know, I thought the Madden interview yesterday with Lawrence was great. There's nothing wrong with it. But Madden on Chatwood, just, we got to get to the sound later on in the show.
Yeah.
I'm like, what? Wait, what? He's great. He's on the verge. He's on the cusp. He hits great. He fields great. He's a great athlete.
Joe's going to introduce him.
What am I not so? When did I become so baseball stupid that I can't see what Joe Madden sees in Tyler Chatwood?
What's he going to say about him?
I didn't think he was going to defecate all over the guy. But I mean, you know, just like listen. You know, Tyler's been struggling, but maybe when we get him back out on the mound and he's going to be a starter, and that's what he's been trained to do. Maybe then it'll all click. I mean, he acted like we're all a bunch of mouth breathers.
He's
trying to give him some confidence.
That's for an audience of one.
Yeah,
that's for
you're not the guy he's trying to reach. Yeah. That was obvious he was trying to reach Chatwood.
I hope he was listening.
He's trying to speak it into existence.
It's a tough one, Bruce. It's a very fair question and obviously a ripe one.
Are you encouraged by the fifth multi-hit game for Eloy Jimenez in 10 starts, or is the fact that he's only managed singles a bit deflating?
Well, I am encouraged. I think he's a little more comfortable with the plate. I think he's a little bit more confident, and he's laying off maybe the breaking pitches that he wasn't in the first couple games and at bats. You're going to see growth. You're going to see, you know, incremental progress. You'd like to see more power. Absolutely, you'd like to see more power the way he tore up the minor leagues on his way up to Chicago. But I was reminded yesterday by Frank Thomas himself in the postgame on NBC Sports Chicago, and then by stats guru Chris Kampka later on Twitter.
I saw that.
You know, Frank Thomas didn't hit a home run until his 26th major league hit. Eloy has, 11 now? So he has 11, and they're all singles. Patience. I would be worried if it's June and he's sitting on one or two home runs and the power isn't there that you saw at the minors. That would be a bigger problem. This Sox season is going to be all about charting individual progress, as we sort of talked about. The team kind of stinks until they get better starting pitching. But you're seeing growth at the plate with Mancata. You're seeing Tim Anderson being as exciting as ever. And you are seeing improvement from Eloy Jimenez, in even though it's not what you want for a guy that is, you know, billed as a power hitter, that'll come.
Yeah, Chris Skomka always has great stuff. He also had a tweet yesterday that said that Eloy's five multi-hit games in his first 10 career starts is the most for the White Sox since Jose Abreu in 2014. And he wound up as the Rookie of the Year, Dustin. Let's not talk about it. I am very encouraged that Eloy has at least made contact and seems to be figuring some things out. I think that as I watch him and as I study him over the course of the season, I think the power is going to come. I think that he is a professional hitter, and I think that it's good to have him make it. You know, would I prefer it if he would just start raking and do that for the next month and a half? Yes, that would that would ease a lot of my worry. But I'm not really looking at wins and losses. I'm just looking at how these young guys are doing, and I'm building in my own mind, I'm building for the future.
Yeah, I did see a couple of people that were worried about just going all singles, and I just kind of laughed. At 10 games into his career, you have
to
be
encouraged.
You got to
stay off White Sox Twitter, man.
Oh, man. That's part of my job. I'm like, what are you guys doing? Seeing all these pitchers for the first time, you expect in his all year long, he's going to have plenty of peaks and valleys, and we've seen plenty of all-time greats that end up getting sent down back to the minor leagues, sure, and they start to figure things out. So you have to be encouraged after 10 games.
I am encouraged for sure because he is getting on base at a pretty consistent clip. He is hitting 280 with the 333 OBP right now, which is pretty good. But I am a little bit, if I'm being honest, I'm a little bit disappointed. Right. We haven't seen
no power,
the fireworks as of yet. I mean, all singles is pretty wild for a young man that's, what, 6'5", 250, somewhere about right there. You would expect to have seen more, but I think I'm
he got an RBI by getting hit in the foot.
Sure.
He got an RBI. Still
infield single yesterday with the bases loaded.
Yeah, wheels on Aloy as well. I'm more encouraged by him starting off the way he has right now with no home runs than I would be if he had three or four home runs, but he was hitting, you know, like 150 or something like that. I think that you would rather take the singles and the walks earlier because the power will come. That's inevitable. He's still learning. He's still adapting. He's learning how he's going to be attacked, how he's going to counterattack. It's all a game of chess, and he's still adapting to that and learning. So I am encouraged, but I would like to see a home run at some point. I know it's coming, and then they're going to start coming in bunches.
Yeah, it's only the power. That's it. That's the only thing that you could be disappointed in right now. I mean, how could you?
Defense a little bit too. Needs some work. But we all thought that was going to be a thing.
And I appreciate the fact that Kevin's grinding on, because honestly, I've only been paying attention to his plate appearances. Like, I've been following, like, clicking back and forth. And if I know he's coming up or he's due up, like, I'm making sure I'm in front of the television for it. I want to see that ball jump out of the park when it does. Now, the only thing is, there's like a little rumor going around, right, that the balls are juiced again, right? Something's up with the baseballs. So you'd hope that if it really is something up with the baseballs, that he'd be getting more than these singles, that he'd be part of the people enjoying the juiced ball era, because remember, guys, at least take the long ball.
At least they didn't give up anything for him. Like, just got him kind of free him and six.
Thank you for the question.
Does the Blackhawks' unlikely landing of the number 3 pick portend a quick return to the NHL playoffs? Should they take the best player available or a guy that will help prevent wasting the back end years of Taves and Kane?
Listen. The hockey gods are smiling on them. There's no other way to put it. I mean, this is a happy result. This is puck luck, and this is the winning a face-off you weren't expecting. It's fantastic to land the number 3 pick when you thought you were going to 12, and it allows you to get a player that can help you sooner than you thought possible. So this is a really happy, wondrous moment for the Blackhawks, and sure, this could be the kind of thing that kickstarts something. They got some money. Maybe they can clear a little more money. Maybe they can bring in a guy or two. This speeds the development, no question about it. Now, in any draft, the old best player available is always one to consider. And I don't think you reach on a guy because he's able to play quicker. I think you get the best talent you can get at the spot you're picking in. And it's amazing to me how that often works out as the thing that also is the biggest need for your team. So there's a fudge to it, but this, you got to hit on this pick. It's a really important pick now.
It is.
For this team, because they, if you really look at what they've done, they were really bad and they got a couple of great players out of it and they could build around that group. And now they have been slowly building up their defense. They really got lucky with the Brinket. So they got another guy. So they, you know, you could talk
it's good
about
scouting too.
It's great scouting. You know, bringing Panarin in and all the things that they've done. But I'm telling you, you got to hit on this pick. It's very important for the future of the franchise, and you got to get it right. And sometimes you just got to hold your water and take the guy that falls to you. And sometimes you got to make a little bit of a reach. I would not be reaching. I'd be getting the best player I could get here.
How interesting that the Hawks will possibly draft higher than the Bulls, and the Hawks finish the season with the arrow pointing up, trying to make the playoffs, and the Bulls did whatever it is that they did. You have to, at number three, look at this as an opportunity to get a core player. You're going to get a core player for the future. Ideally, it is a guy that can contribute right away. I do think your best player available with an asterisk. You don't want to draft somebody who's going to be stashed in Russia for 2 years, who isn't ready for the NHL, which is one of the prospects who is good enough to be drafted in that spot, according to the people that you talk to and the information that you get.
Is that the winger?
Yeah. And you know, he may not be ready for the NHL yet. You have guys at the top of the draft. Jack Hughes is going to be the number one overall to the Devils, and you think that Kaapo Kakko is going to be the guy that goes number two.
If he drops
to you, then you have an
easy
decision to make. After that, it gets a little more complicated. Not going to bore you with the details, but there's a defenseman in Vancouver that Bowen Byram could be a guy that fits in. Dylan Cousins, Kirby Dack. All these are names that you're going to hear if you discuss the NHL draft coming forward. But this is an opportunity. It is puck luck. You now have a roster that you can fortify and think that you can get into the playoffs, back into the playoffs where you belong next year, to take advantage of Taze and Kane while they're still playing at a very high level. It was a big night for the Blackhawks.
Tank worked. Couldn't they give their luck to the Bulls, though? It stinks.
Get the Jordan of hockey with the third overall pick.
I haven't studied the NHL draft, but
what?
David's got all the information. Oh,
he's apparently
impressive.
Been
impressive.
Got the draft board going.
They're going to get somebody that can help their defense.
He just high-fived himself.
Come on.
It's a mock draft. You got a mock high-five.
They've been doing mock drafts for months now.
That's the question. Can they find someone that will help prevent the opposition from going up 1-0, 2-0 in the first period? Because you're coming off career years with Taves and Kane before this season, even though it was disappointing missing the playoffs again. What you got out of those two guys, you have to strike and take advantage immediately. And again, not difficult to get into the playoffs in the NHL. I hope that's not the bar now, because how far the Blackhawks have fallen here. But yeah, you have to get in the playoffs immediately. We say back end, but man, what they did this year, if you get anywhere close to that, they better be in there.
Well, first of all, I love puck luck, as you guys are well aware. And David, I wasn't aware that the NHL draft lottery was last night. So when you tweeted at me, you should have seen my face light up and the
You're
joy.
Welcome. You're welcome, Kevin.
Thank you very much. Yeah. The joy that filled me with knowing that the Blackhawks would have the third pick upcoming in the draft. Unfortunately, though, they'll not be able to take Kaapo Kakko from Finland, right?
Yeah, finish.
There we go. See?
He could be the Kaapo de Tutti Kaapo.
That went right over my head.
No, it's mafia reference.
Oh, okay. It's also not easy, or it's not difficult to put anything over my head. Best player available, whether you're Blackhawks, the Bulls, the White Sox, the Cubs, it doesn't matter. You always take the best player available. This should be no different. You need to build up your depth defensively is where they were lacking last season, but they are so thin in so many areas that you just have to take the best guy on the board, whomever that may be.
When did we start letting Dan Bernstein submit questions? Portend? What the heck is portend? Come on, portend. I think this is great. I think I didn't know
know
the draft lottery
portend's
was last night either.
Word?
Portend.
Good word. It's an excellent word.
Okay.
That's a hard question to ask.
It's a pretty important question to answer, though.
The Bulls played their last home game last night and end their season tonight. Zach LaVine vowed they will make the playoffs next year. What moves must happen for that goal to become realistic?
Well, they have to have better luck in the draft lottery than the Blackhawks, even. They have to get number one or number two overall. If they get one of those two picks and you're picking either Zion Williamson or Ja Morant, certainly you feel much better about making the playoffs next year because... And even, I suppose, if you're picking in the top five, you might get a guy that that is an instant contributor, maybe. I think there'd be more questions surrounding anybody whose name isn't Morant or Williamson on the Bulls next year as a rookie. But you do have four starters, 25 or younger, and in Otto Porter, Zach LaVine, Lauri Markkanen, and Wendell Carter Jr., these are guys who are your core players. I understand the optimism. If the Bulls are intelligent and aggressive and get a veteran point guard either through trade or free agency with the money that is available in that slot next to Otto Porter Jr., which is kind of their free agent draft class of 2019 already, then it is, you know, it's a pretty low bar to make the playoffs in the East. It's not something you can't clear. So saying that is your goal makes a lot of sense. It isn't unrealistic at this point, given your projections and what might portend for next season. So I think if you look at what they're able to do in the draft and potentially being aggressive as a in free agency, they can make a couple moves. And if they get a little luck, then I think that will definitely complement it. But they could get back in the playoffs.
Puck luck?
Bulls luck.
Yeah, I don't know that. I don't know that you can rely on something that Zach says to presage something that will occur next year, or in any way kind of, I don't know, foreshadow what will eventually occur. I think the problem, and we'll talk to Casey Johnson in just a little bit here. The problem, and Casey's written about it several times. We don't even know what their core is. I got a list of names on the core. I don't know that I've ever seen them all play together.
Is Chris Dunn?
And certainly for no extent. Is Chris Dunn done?
I don't know. Do you count him? Yeah. Do you think he's going to be part of this?
No, I don't consider him a part of the core. Do you?
Not necessarily.
No, I think you
core
need
guy is
someone
a sixth
better than
man,
him.
And I think he could be your sixth man.
Right. He could be a backup point guard. Fair enough. But I don't know. I mean, listen. Hey, what if they all end up being all-stars and future Hall of Famers? Then the Bulls are going to be real good. I don't know because I haven't seen them play.
Right.
And you know, it's interesting. Is Zach LaVine giving me a lot of positive energy? Great. That's fantastic. Is that true? Is that a real evaluation? I wonder. We have not seen this group play together. We talk about how good guys are based on little photographs, little snapshots of where they are at different points in their career, but never with the collective together and playing. Wendell Carter Jr., he's a great player, right? I don't know. Do you remember him? Oh, didn't he have the tattoo underneath the jersey? I don't even know who these guys are. It is very difficult to try to figure out what their careers hold when you never see them play. And certainly we've never seen them all play together. We haven't seen them. We've seen glimpses of different guys at different times, but there has been no continuity whatsoever. You need to get everybody up and running and together. It's never happened. So the so-called core, it could be incredible, but I don't know. And it's very important that you get great players. It's very important you get a high draft pick and you get a guy who can really play because, again, in the game of basketball, you only get five of them, and one guy can dominate, and you need 3.5. Need 2.5 to win a title if you got a great player. Do they have a great player? Do they have anybody that is all-star caliber? Don't they have the all-star game in Chicago next
year?
Who's going to be there representing the Bulls? Probably Lauri Markkanen in the international game. What else? What else you got?
Zion.
Again, we haven't seen him. When did they sign him? I missed the lottery.
You missed that? Okay.
One thing that bothers me when Rick Hahn talks about the core is that's what I'm saying. Well, who's in the core? We don't know yet. We need to see these guys perform for a long period of time before you can believe anything. And we're having the exact same conversation we had 1 year ago. Have they progressed at all? Okay, you add Otto Porter Jr. He's under contract for one more season. But these same players can't stay healthy. So you added Wendell Carter Jr., another guy that wasn't able to stay healthy. So, number one, if you want a shot at the playoffs, they need health. They need some luck. They need to add a professional point guard, whether it's through the draft or free agency. But another year into this rebuild, I can't say that they're in a better spot.
It's tough to say because, like you guys have all mentioned, you haven't seen them out there enough together. You don't know if the head coach is in this century or not when it comes to the modern NBA. There are so many things that need to go right for the Bulls to be able to contend for the playoffs next season. I mean, they just have to be around 500. That's how you get in at the bottom end of the Eastern Conference. But if Zach misses chunks of time and Markkanen misses chunks of time, they don't get one of the top three picks and Carter is hurt again, and then you go another year not really knowing what you have, which I don't think is out of the realm of possibility, because why would next season be different than the past few seasons when they haven't been able to stay on the court together? So I want to hope that this is moving in the right direction. If they get one of the top two or three picks, that's going to be a huge boost for the rebuild or whatever you want to call what Pax and Gar are doing down there. But health is the number one issue without question.
Yes, I'm going to have to agree with Kevin, unfortunately. Health. These guys got to stay healthy. You have to be available. You have to be out there. They need to play together. To your point, Molly, we haven't had the opportunity to have our eyes on this group enough to really know if not. But I'm happy that Zach is saying this. I want him to lead. I want him to lead by example. You know, I want Zach to potentially be in that game at the United Center when they host the All-Star game. I want him to be part of All-Star Weekend. Maybe he'll be in the dunk contest. Maybe that's it. Not only will Laurie be in the international game, maybe he'll be part of the three-point contest, right? I mean, you want these guys. And listen, if they get the Blackhawks luck and they get Zion Williamson, why couldn't he be in the dunk contest as a rook?
Might be in the All-Star
right?
game.
That would portend right. big things.
So, that would augur a wonderful season.
It certainly would.
I won't portend to understand what that means, but okay.
Prophesy that.
Could it foretell success?
It's a great question, and so many of them were so good. In fact, all of them I learned something from that if I mention one of them, I'm going to leave out all of them. And if I try to mention all of them, I won't remember some, and I'll regret that.
Where is your interest level on the 2019 Masters? Who do you want to win? Or are you a Tiger guy?
I'm all fired up for the Masters. I've always been... I wouldn't call myself a golf fan in the sense of watching golf every weekend and, you know, checking in on different players. I would call myself a huge fan of all the majors and love the British Open. I love the Masters. I love watching majors. I've always been the kind of guy that, you know, I'm not a huge tennis fan, but I would never miss Wimbledon. And I do monitor and watch the majors. I like to watch a prize fight. I love sports.
I love the Olympics every 4 years.
Oh my God, I love the Olympics. I love weird sports that I don't even know how to play or what. You know,
curling.
You know what? I wanted to get a show curling trip going, and now it's more likely than ever. I'm all over watching whatever the sport might be. I have visited the luge run and the bobsled run in Vancouver from the Olympics. It was so much fun to just kind of stare at that thing and remember watching it, not knowing how the hell you're supposed to sit or how you would possibly go about it, not understanding any of the skills it would take to succeed at those sports. But I remember being traveling one time and kind of it being in a bit of a session and on a bit of a tear and waking up with a bunch of our buddies where everybody crashed in one place and turning on the TV, and we watched a game. I think it was called Kabaddi. It was like from India, and it was effectively like a giant game of tag, if I was figuring it out as it went along. But we were just sitting there knocking a few back, like loving this sport. I had no idea. Like, hey, that guy. And these people are like, they had no shoes on. They're running around. Was it Kabaddi? Is that what the sport is called? Absolutely fascinating to sit there and watch it. I love watching the guy in the long coat when he signals a try in Australian rules football. I can watch any of that stuff. I don't know why, but I love it. And I'm not comparing golf to any of those weird sports.
Sounds like you are.
No, I'm just saying I'm all in on the Masters. I'm all in on the majors. And I also am involved in a pool. So I'm not a Tiger guy, and I do. I have selected my players and done my research and talked to a bunch of people about who are some long shots and all that stuff. So it's having a little rooting interest, a little wager on it makes it even more interesting to me. But I'm not a golfer. I don't spend any time golfing. I don't cheat at the game, but my ancestors apparently were the first to do it. I love the Masters every year. There's nothing like move-in day, and there's really nothing like the final day of a major and watching these guys compete. And I'm not against Tiger, but he's not one of my golfers, so I can't be a Tiger guy.
Oddly enough, the other day at Wrigley Field, walking around the ballpark, I found myself thinking about the Masters.
Hey, because it's Tiger.
It felt like springtime was in the air. And I think when you watch the Masters, it sort of marks the unofficial start of spring. And you feel like a rejuvenation. And this it's sort of it marks on your mental calendar. Okay, it's April. It should be better now. Certainly, you're going to have a hard time believing that tonight in Chicago when they cancel the Cubs game, if they do because of the bad weather. But this is a benchmark. And this season, this year, it feels like the curiosity is peaked, because I do wonder if Tiger Woods can continue his relative success that he showed last year in majors. It's certainly not the Tiger Woods of the past. I don't know if we'll ever see that golfer again, but it's intriguing to wonder and to watch him this week at a course that he has owned. Wonder, and he said yesterday, I don't know if I need to win this tournament, but I want to. And when Tiger wants to do something, his determination can go a long way. I'm curious about Jordan Spieth breaking out of his slump.
That's my pick. That's, my first pick.
Oh, 13th. No, you can't take him.
13th I took him. He fell to 13th.
I don't want to go to someone else now, because I can't pick your guy too.
Come on, buddy. I gotta come,
go just somewhere jump on board.
Ricky Fowler Jr., the best guy never to win a major. Maybe this is the week. Maybe this is the year. I don't know.
Matsuyama. How about that?
Good pick.
I got him. God I got him you. Second.
I don't know. I'm curious about the Masters. I'm looking forward to Augusta. I think this is definitely a week that you welcome the return of golf.
Got him in second round?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Is that awesome?
To be like close to 20th
Spieth
pick?
And Matsuyama. Yeah.
Okay, that's a good combination.
Thank you, buddy.
Yeah, Spieth is you worry, but he's been so good there.
Right.
My interest level extremely high, and part of the reason is course history. Going into most tournaments, you have that debate. Is it about course history or is it about recent form? There's no question. When you talk about Augusta National, it's all about guys that have taken rounds here, guys that understand the greens, the very fast greens, and have that experience. So right away, I eliminate a lot of the old guys that are always there and the first timers, because you need to get the experience before you have a shot at winning here. I'll be finishing up my homework this afternoon for my bets, nice. My DraftKings, my pools, my one and dones, all that. A lot of work to do.
Joe, we must sit down and talk about this.
Who do I want to win? See, there's a lot of guys I don't want to win.
Who?
Jose Altuve.
You know, everybody says, oh, it's Rory's year. I got nothing for Rory. That wouldn't excite me as a golf fan. I think Kepka's boring.
I see that, too. I'm not a big Rory guy either.
He's having a great season, but a lot of people want him to finish it off. I believe that would be the Grand Slam, so he gets the Masters. Kepka, great golfer, steps up for majors, but I don't think that would be great for the game. I want to see Jon Rahm finally break through. He's had the hype for years.
The mayor.
I'd love to see that happen. And
the mayor.
I don't describe myself as a Tiger guy, but I would love to see him win. It would be great for the game. Kick off the major season. The PGA Championship was moved to next month. Tiger wins. That would be huge.
Let me just preface this by saying, if you are as excited as Joe Ostrowski is about the Masters, then more power to you. I hope you enjoy it. I hope you are riveted by the whole thing and you have your eyes on every single shot all weekend long. I am not particularly excited about it for me, myself. If it's on and I'm not doing anything, I'll have it on. And if Fowler or Tiger are in it on the last day, I will certainly watch that.
Big
but
Spieth guy, are you?
No, I don't like Spieth.
Damn you.
I like Fowler.
As long as it doesn't interfere with the NHL playoffs, Kevin?
As long as there's no schedule confliction. With the confliction?
You got an arsenal.
Is that a word?
To watch?
Is Look it up. Yeah. I don't think it is.
I don't think we will.
Conflict.
Confliction.
Maybe we can get Portend involved.
Hey, it's Tiger.
The Chicago Wolves have clinched their third straight Central Division title. Be there Saturday and Sunday for the final regular season games. For tickets or playoff info, go to visitchicagowolves.com. I love the Masters. Can't get enough of it.
Yeah,
I watched a bunch last night of preview. Speaking of Kepka, Brandel Chambly, you want to talk about like the sharpest tongue maybe in all of sports?
He's great.
Analyst work, right? He barbecued this guy. So this guy already, Kepka already looks like a football, like a college football player. He's got a great body. I mean, I'm not trying. it's obvious.
Okay.
Like
Coming back.
David's probably envious. He looks really good in those yoga pants or whatever. What are those? What's that goofy
Lululemon.
He probably is a Lululemon guy too. Koepka is a Lululemon guy. He's got great. His girlfriend is gorgeous. I've seen her, you know, give a little hug after a big event. But he does absolutely nothing for me. And you look at this, like, I'm not a Rory guy either.
Sounds like he's doing a lot.
Dustin Johnson is boring, okay? I'd much rather watch Polina do things. Justin Rose, boring. John Rahm, boring. Euro trash. Justin Thomas, boring. Give me Jordan Spieth. Give me Ricky Fowler. Give me Jason Day. I can stomach Bubba Watson. You like that guy mumbling to himself, right? You like that guy.
Bubba's great theater.
You know, Paul Casey. Paul Casey is kind of like, he's one of those guys. He's all big time check collector.
Euro trash.
Another Euro trash. Give me Phil Mickelson. Matt Kuchar, he's on my list.
You just named about 15 guys. Yeah. Pick a lane.
How about Matt Wallace?
I got guys that I don't want
to be sophisticated.
Who I want to see? I want to see Tiger in one of the last two groups on Sunday, and then I want to see him fail.
Do you want to see Kim win it?
That's what, fine, sure. Not Euro trash.
That's my fourth.
He's not Euro trash, so I'm very into the Ryder Cup, so I'm very anti.
Oh, that's nice.
Euro trash.
I have a lot of friends that love the Ryder Cup, but they don't love America. They're not American. They're Euro trash. 3-1. Man, this guy beautiful. 312-644-6767.
USA. Yeah.
What time is the disclaimer?
It's Smalley and Hall on Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the score.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.